It turns out that it's one of those chapters about which there's a great deal to say, and I think that there's no better way to do it than just start. And let's hope that we accomplish as much as we can. The Haftorah is the sixth chapter of Isaiah, Yeshayahu. Now, the sixth chapter of Yeshayahu is very significant. And you'll see right away why it is. Bishnat Mot HaMelech Uziyahu, in the year of the death of King Uziyahu. Uziyahu was one of the kings of Yehuda. In fact, I will read for you now the very first pasuk in Sefer Yeshayahu, which is the Haftorah for Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av. Chazon Yeshayahu, the visions of Yeshayahu. Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz, Asher Chazon that he saw about Yehuda and Yerushalayim, the visions that he saw about Yehuda and Yerushalayim, Bimei, in the days of the following kings, Uziyahu, Yotam, Achaz, Yechizkiyahu, Malchei Yehuda, four kings. Uziyahu is the first king in whose lifetime he says prophecy. This chapter, chapter 6, now begins, Bishnat Mot HaMelech Uziyahu, in the year of the death of King Uziyahu, which would of course leave the impression that he doesn't say prophecy in the days of Uziyahu's lifetime, but it's said that he's supposed to say prophecy in Uziyahu's lifetime. So Rashi, the Medrash, Gemara say that we're not really talking about his death of Uziyahu. Uziyahu did something terrible. He decided he was king of Israel, of Yehuda, and he wanted to bring incense in the Beit HaMikdash. He wanted to perform the service that is designated for a Kohen to do. He wanted to, in a certain sense, usurp the service of the Kohanim. And he went into the Beit HaMikdash in order to bring the incense, and he was struck with tzaraat, with leprosy. There is a near Yad Avshalom, on the outskirts of the wall of the old city, there is a building in which Uziyahu remained for the rest of his life. A leper cannot be within the camp. He has to be sent out of the camp. And by walled cities, he has to be sent out of the walls of the city. He had to be removed from Yerushalayim. And the fact is, he lived for about another 26 years afterwards. But his son, Yotam, who was a tzaddik, is the one who was consort and acted as king. So, in a sense, he's dead, and in another sense, he's alive. Bishnat Mot HaMelech Uziyahu, in the year of the death of Uziyahu, and Rashi says one word, Kishe Nitztacha, when he became a Mitzora, spiritual leprosy. So he's really alive. Rashi is further going to say that chapter 6 is the first chapter of Sefer Yeshayahu. And you're going to see right away that it is clear beyond any shadow of a doubt that this is the first vision of Yeshayahu. He sees the divine presence. We're going to have a description of what he sees. The throne of God himself with all of the angels around God. And he's going to hear a voice saying, whom shall I send and who shall go for me? Who is going to be my messenger to the Jewish people? And Yeshayahu is going to volunteer. And he's going to say, I'm going to go. Which is quite clear that this is the first appearance of God to Yeshayahu. So in a sense it should be chapter 1, but it's chapter 6. And Rashi says, as Chazal say, Ein mugdam umeucha, there is no chronological order. No chronological order. You know, I've always had difficulty with that. Even if there is no chronological order, what would it have hurt if chapter 6 would have been chapter 1? I don't understand. Why do you have to make it chapter 6? What do you have to put us into the position where we ask a good question and we're not really left with a very good answer? I don't know. I have a feeling that it may very well be that the first 5 chapters are really the essence of what his prophecy is and to whom he speaks. He's really going to be speaking throughout the Sefer. He's going to be speaking to the kings of Yehuda about Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Now, what's being established at the outset in chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is the mandate of Yeshayahu. What his goal is, what his objective is. If, for example, in chapter 2, we have the great psukim, of course, that are emblazoned on the Isaiah wall of the United Nations. That, you know, over here, everybody is shepping so much in Nachas, you understand. After 60 years, they said a Kael Mole Rachamim. You know, I think they enjoy saying Kael Mole Rachamims over Jews than, you know, dead Jews are okay. I mean, I'm in a very sarcastic and cynical mood today. But everybody was, oh, God, for the first time. And Elie Wiesel spoke, and Kofi Annan, and Sylvan Shalom. I can't even read this stuff. Okay, all right. Then. All right. This was not planned, you know, this was not planned. But there, at least, there's the Isaiah wall, which is chapter 2 of Yeshayahu. V'hayom bi'acharit hayamim, at the end of days, established will be God upon the mountain, the house of God, at the head of all mountains, and all of the nations will flow toward God on the Temple Mount. V'holchu amim rabim, and many nations are going to go, and they're going to say, L'chu v'na'aleh el har Hashem, let us go up to the mountain of God. We should see that in our days. The first thing, of course, we're going to have to do is get Jews to say, let's go to Har Hashem. And so not everybody is in favor of going up to Har Hashem. Well, that's right. But I happened to participate in the dinner last night at Binyanei HaUmah. There were 1,000 people at a Harabayit dinner. How do you like that? At a Harabayit dinner. It was amazing. All of the crazies got together in one room, and today's crazies are the ones that will ultimately set the agenda for Klal Yisrael. The Rambam says in one of his great writings, the Rambam says, Lulei HaMishtagim, if not for the nuts, Lo hoya ha'olam nivna, the world wouldn't be built. There are people who have ideas and nothing stops them. And they're the ones that really make all of the difference. Oh, you should have seen that gang last night. I mean, from Nadia Matar to Shalom Gold, from, I don't know, I tell you, from Yehuda Etzion, most probably to Rabbi Yosef Elbaum, Chassidim and Misnagdim, long beards, short beards, payas, no payas, big kippot with all sorts of colors, little kippot that you can hardly see. It was an amazing event. But this is the forerunner of those who will say, L'chu, let us go up to the mountain of God. I mean, there are people who are really devoted to the idea of going up to Har HaBayit, and of course I've taken a position, yes, saying that I believe it's terribly important, but one has to know how to do it, al pi din and al pi halacha. Anyway, if I keep going off on tangents, we'll never get the Haftarah. Kimitzion, why is everybody going to go up to the mountain? Kimitzion, Teitzei Torah, for from Zion shall go out Torah, Dvar Hashem, Yerushalayim. Ah, and then comes the great pasuk that's emblazoned there, that the nation shall not lift up sword against nation, nor shall they wage war, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Lo yisok goyel goy cherev lo yilmedu od milchama. And I've always said that it's so fascinating that in all of literature, in all of the world's vast literature, the pasuk that best describes the yearning for world peace comes from Yeshayahu. Didn't find anything in the New Testament, didn't find anything in the Koran, you understand. Didn't find anything in Hemingway. Garnished. The only place is Yeshayahu. So that in chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, what is set out is the mandate of Yeshayahu, what his message is going to be. And once we know what his message is, then the pasuk tells us, aha, now you want to know how it all started. It started in chapter 6. Obviously, since this is going to be the great vision of Yeshayahu, It is on its most simple level, it is already related to Parshat HaShavua, because Parshat HaShavua, all of Israel is going to see the glory of God as God descends upon Mount Sinai, an event only once in history. Vayered Hashem al HaSinai, he comes down, and there's a description of lightning and thunder and cloud and smoke, the earth trembling. And we're going to have a description that in a certain sense is similar in this great vision of Yeshayahu. The great vision of Yeshayahu, it really is something similar to what happens at the beginning of Yechezkel, except the first two chapters in Yechezkel are a very detailed description of the chariot, so to speak, of God. The halacha even says that we're not permitted to delve into the description that Yechezkel gives us of the heavenly throne and all that surrounds it. And he hears the voice of God coming to him and sending him on a mission. Yirmiyahu also begins in precisely the same way. Yirmiyahu hears God who appears to him and asks him if he will go and be the messenger of God to the Jewish people. So here it is, Bishnat Mot HaMelech Uziyahu, V'eret Hashem, I saw God Yosef, Al Kisei Ram V'nisa. I saw him sitting on a high and lofty throne, V'shulav Meleim Et HaHechal, and the legs of the throne fill the entire Hechal, the entire temple. He sees a temple, he sees a big throne. Srofim omdim mimalo, near God, or sort of hovering, so to speak, over him. And what it really means, serving him, on angels that are called seraphim. Sheish knafayim, sheish knafayim la'echod, each one has six wings. B'shtayim yichase ponov, with two he covers his face so that his eyes shall not see the divine presence itself. U'b'shtayim yichase raglov, with two he covers his feet, his legs. U'b'shtayim ya'ofeif, and with two wings he flies. And the word of flying over here doesn't only mean flying, it means that, in a sense, two wings with which he serves God. There's an interesting medrash that says that the two that cover his legs, because the legs of the malachim look like the legs of a calf, so it should not remind God of the Egel Hazov, the golden calf, so it's covered. Don't ask me pshat. Because you have to understand that there are things here that are completely beyond our ability to understand. V'korazel zev yomar. And they call to one another. V'korazel zev yomar, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Holy, holy, holy is the God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. What does it mean? Over here, of course, we're going to have to stop to find out what's happening over here. For four simple reasons. This entire scene, we say it in davening every day, 1, 2, 3 times. 3 times we say this in davening. It's description. The description of what's happening over there in the heavens is Iftar Baruch Hu. Iftar Baruch Hu, it says, Tidbarach Tzudeinu Malkeinu V'Goaleinu, may you be blessed, our rock, our king, our redeemer. Yishtabach Shimcha Ad Malkeinu, your name shall be praised forever. Yotzer Mishorasim, the one who creates those who serve him. Vasher Mishortov Kulam Omdim Berum Olam, all of his ministering angels, Mishortov, are standing on the very heights of the world. They're standing around him. Srofim Omdim Mimba'alo. It's all based on this one pasuk. Umashmim Biro Yachad, and they make heard with great fear the words of Divrei Elokim Chayim, the words of a living God, Umelech Olam, King of the world, Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Berurim. This is a description of the angels. They are all beloved. They are all pure. Kulam Giborim, Almighty. V'chulam Osim Be'emo U'Biyir Raritzon Konam, and all of them do with trembling and with reverence the will of their Creator. V'chulam Potchim Et Piyam, they all open up their mouths. V'kedusha U'V'Tahara, with holiness and with purity. V'shira U'V'Zimra, with song and hymn. U'Mevorchim, U'Meshabchim, U'Mefarim, U'Maritzim, U'Magdishim, U'Mamlichim, and they bless and praise and glorify, revere, sanctify, and declare the kingship of Shem, Hakel, HaMelech, HaGadol, HaGibor, VaHanora, the name of the great, the mighty, and the awesome God. V'chulam mekablim aleihem, O Malchut Shamayim zeh mizeh, they all accept upon themselves the yoke of heavenly sovereignty from one another. You know, what it means is that they all do it together. The Tanna Dvei Eliyahu says, contrasts the behavior of the angels with that of human beings. Unlike people whose competitive jealousies cause them to thwart and attempt to outdo one another, there is no jealousy and there is no competition amongst the angels. They all do everything together in unison. And they grant permission to one another, Lahagdish Liotzam, to sanctify their Creator, Benachat Ruach, with tranquility, Besofa Verura, clear words, Ubinima, and with sweetness, Kedusha, Kulam Kechod, all of them together, Onim, Va'omrim, Biro, they proclaim with fear, Kadosh, 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 Hashem, Tzvakot, Melo Chol Haaretz, Kevodo. All right, that's this pasuk. Then the davening goes on to say, V'ha'ofanim v'chayot ha'kodesh. Now, that was the seraphim. But there are other angels who are called ofanim or chayot ha'kodesh. With great noise, mitnasim lumat seraphim, they raise themselves to face the seraphim. The seraphim are the ones who said, Kadosh, 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 Hashem, Tzvakot, Meloch, Horetz, Kevodo. Lu'umatan, and facing them, Meshabachim, they praise and they say, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimekomo, blessed is the Lord of Hashem from his place. The Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimekomo comes from Sefer Yechezkel. That's the end of the vision of Yechezkel. That's going to be the Kedusha. Now, if you're Svarad, You say, Nagdishach v'naritzach, we will make you holy and we will revere you. Nagdishach. K'noam siach sod sarfei kodesh. Just with the same pleasantness and holy tongue of the holy seraphim. These are the seraphim. It's going to be amazing. You're going to enjoy davening and saying Kedusha. If you're Ashkenaz, you say, Nekadesh et Shemcha ba'olam, we are going to sanctify your name in this world. Kishen Shemagdishim Oto, just like they sanctify him, Bishmei Marom, in the very heights of the heavens. We're going to do the same thing. Kakatov Hayad Deviyecha, as it is written by your prophet, V'koro Zeh El Zeh V'omer Kadosh 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 Hashem Tzvakot Meloch Haloris Kavoda, the pasuk in Yeshayahu. Le'umatam, and facing them, who are the ones that are facing the Seraphim, the Ofanim, and the Chayot HaKodesh? And they say, Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimakomo. How do you like that? But wait a minute, we're not finished yet. That's two places. The one that you have to understand even more, and then of course we're going to talk about what this pasuk means, what the pasuk means. and just keep in mind that the vision seen, I would say really what was seen by Jews at the Red Sea last week, etc., where even a maid servant at the Red Sea was able to say Ze Keli Vanvehu, point with a finger and say, this is my God, Vanvehu. In the parasha, it's all of Israel that are standing there, and they see the glory of God, and they are taken aback. They begin to tremble, and they tell Moshe, Daber ato imanu, you speak to us. We're incapable of receiving the awesome might of the word of God. In Uvolet Zion Goel. So it says, Vato kadosh, you are holy, Yoshev Tehilot Yisrael, the Korazel Zeviamar, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzakot, Meloch Olaris Kavodo. And then we have a translation of Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh in Aramaic. The translation is Targum Yonatan Ben Uziel on our Pasuk right here in Yeshayahu. Umikablin dein min dein v'amrin, and they receive permission from one another, and they say, each one of the three times it says kadosh has a different meaning. And the targum of Yonatan ben Uziel explains the first kadosh is kadesh bishmei meroma, holy in the most exalted heaven, ilah beit shchinte, up above where is his dwelling place. The second kadosh is referring that same God who is holy up there is holy down here. Kadish al-Ara, he is holy. He is holy on earth. Ovad givurte, that which he made with his might. Might. Where do we say Ovad givurte?
Wait.
You know, if I don't sing it, I don't know it. I'm sorry. Okay, you can sell this as a Mordechai Ben David tape or Shweki. That's it. Okay. Ovad givurtech, that which you made with your might. So the first kadosh describes God in heaven. The second kadosh describes God on earth. The third describes the eternity of God. Kadish lo'olam uli olmei olmaya, holy forever. Hashem Tzvakot, God of hosts. Mario kol aro ziv yikore, the shine and brilliance of his fills the entire world. So we say the Targum
of Yonatan together with the Kadosh. And then, Vatisoeni Ruach, and the wind lifted me. And I heard Chash Gadol, the great noise. Who are the ones with the great noise? They're the Ofanim and the Chayot HaKodesh. Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimekomo. Unatolatni Rucha. Targum Yonatan again in Yecheskel. And the wind lifted me, and I heard behind me Kol Ziyosagi, a mighty, powerful sound, the Meshabchin, who praise and say, Brich Yikorod Hashem, blessed is the honor of Hashem, Me'atar Beit Shchintei, from the place where His holy abode is. And then we say, Hashem Yimloch, Lolam Ve'ed, and we say that Hashem Yimloch Lolam Ve'ed was last week's Sedra. That was the end of the Shiva. Hashem Malchutei Ko'eim Lolam Ulolmei Omaya. God's kingdom is forever. All right. How do we understand the meaning of the word Kadosh? What does the word Kadosh mean? What does Hashem Tzvakot mean? There's a very, very beautiful essay in a book called Man and God by Eliezer Berkowitz, in which he speaks at great length about the concept of holiness. The chapter could in and of itself be already a course. Mamash, it could be just to study the meaning of the word holy, and many of the non-Jewish commentators on Tanakh didn't really get it. He begins, I'm just going to give you a few lines, so you get a general picture of what this sentence means, because this is the most important sentence of all. Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakot. So what does Hashem Tzvakot mean? He brings many psukim, and I will soon quote many of them, but if you want a description of Hashem Tzvakot, the psukim in Tanakh add up to the following, and most of them are in Yeshayahu. The Lord of hosts, Hashem Tzvakot, alone is God. He is at the beginning of time and at the end of it. He alone and no one beside him. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the sovereign power over all nature, as well as over the kingdom of men. He is the mighty one who deals with his enemies and metes out punishment, be they Jew or non-Jew. He is a judge who purges the evil. He brings low the haughty and the proud. He executes punishment when punishment is required. For Yeshayahu, Hashem Tzvakot also, the Lord of hosts, expresses the idea of divine transcendence, that God is above, beyond everything on the face of this earth. Elevated above everything created. The idea of transcendence, therefore, means that God has might. He has power. He has power. Supreme ruler. Supreme judge. I'll just read a few psukim. Svakot, the God of hosts, imagine a commander-in-chief of an awesome army. Ko'amar Hashem Melech Yisrael v'Goalo, so says God, King of Israel and Redeemer, Hashem Tzvakot, the God of hosts. Ani Rishon v'ani Acharon umi Balodai Ein Elohim. I'm first, I'm last, and aside from me there is no other God. All power is mine. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm God, your God, Roga Hayam. I cause the sea to rise up in with great might. Hashem Tzvakot Shemo. God of hosts is his name. Ki yom la Hashem Tzvakot al kol gei everam. A day will come for the God of hosts on all of the haughty and the proud, Balkol Nisa, and all those who rise up, the Shafel, and I'm going to bring them all down. Ki hineho Adon Hashem Tzvakot, the Master, the God of hosts, will remove all evil. And keep going and going and going. But the basic thrust of the idea of Hashem Tzvakot is might, power, creator, eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, all of those words. What does Kedusha mean? Here we come into far more profound, and we're talking about a Tanakh understanding of the word Kadosh. We always live with the impression that Kadosh means separate, distinct, lofty, Kedusha. That's something beyond our approach, beyond our ability to touch, to feel, to understand. Not so from Sefer Yeshayahu. The word Kadosh in Yeshayahu appears most often. It appears in the following phrase, Kedosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel. I mean, you'll start davening, and then you'll start noticing all of the things that I've told you. You'll see there, where is it? Tzur Yisrael, right before Shimon Esrei. Tzur Yisrael, the Rock of Israel. Kuma Be'ezrat Yisrael, arrive to the assistance of Israel. Ufidei Kinumecha, and redeem, as you said, Yehuda Yisrael. Goaleinu, our Redeemer. Hashem Tzvakot Shemo, his name is the God of hosts. Kedosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel. It must appear at least 20 or more places in Yeshayahu. Whenever the term Kedosh Yisrael appears, you know what it speaks of? Not the transcendent, mighty, awesome, powerful, distant God. Kedosh Yisrael means the God who's close, who's near, who's concerned, who's involved with each and every one of us as individuals, and with all of us as Klal Yisrael. Kedosh Yisrael, the one who's there to protect, to save, to rescue, to help, to bring assistance. Kedosh Yisrael is something, doesn't mean he's distant and he's far as we would have assumed. It means it's not that at all. It happens to be precisely the opposite. Kedosh Yisrael is the one who is close to us. Let me read what Eliezer Berkowitz writes. These passages show that the Holy One of Israel occurs in contexts whose message is opposed to those that speak about Hashem Tzvakot. Hashem Tzvakot we described as transcendent, mighty, powerful, punishing. And Kedosh Yisrael all of a sudden is close and warm. I would say that Hashem Tzvakot is Malkeinu, and Kedosh Yisrael is Avinu. The Holy One of Israel, Kedosh Yisrael, is the cause of joy and happiness. For each one of these, there are psukim. He is the friend of the poor and the needy. He protects them when they are in trouble. He is the Savior. He is with thee. He is in the midst of thee. He is the one on whom men should rely. Sahali Voroni Yoshevet Zion. Be full of joy and sing, the one who dwells in Zion. Ki gadol bekirbeich Kedosh Yisrael. Because great and mighty within you is Kedosh Yisrael. You know what Kedosh Yisrael is? Right here. He's amongst us. V'ato togil b'Hashem. You will be full of joy b'Hashem. V'kedosh Yisrael titalol. You will praise the Holy One of Israel. Oh, listen, great pasuk in Yeshayahu. Ki tavor b'mayim itchoni. When you pass through water, I'm with you. U'b'naharot, and through the rivers. Lo yishtefucha, they shall not overflow against you. Ki teleich b'mo'esh. When you go in midst of fire, lo tichve, you will not be singed. Ulahavo lo tavayerbach, flames shall not burn you. Kiani, what the pasuk is describing is the ultimate idea that the Jewish people are going to survive through all of history. You know why you're not going to be swept away by the flood? Do you know why you're not going to be burned and consumed in fire? But you will emerge from the ashes. Kiani Hashem Elokecha, because I am God, your God, Kedosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel. Kedosh Yisrael, Moshiacha, the one who saves you. What a different picture we're getting. Kedosh Yisrael is not describing somebody who's distant, who's far, but he's close. But I just read another pasuk immediately before Shemona Esrei. Govaleinu, Hashem, Tzvakot, Shemo, Kedosh Yisrael. Do you hear what's happening in this pasuk? One of the great unusual psukim of all. The two names that describe the exact opposite nature of God are right there side by side. Goalech, your Redeemer. Hashem Tzvakot Shemo. That's the angry, tough, punishing God. Creator of all of heaven and earth. Kedosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel. You know what that describes? Malkeinu Avinu. The same Hashem Tzvakot Shemo is Kedosh Yisrael. He is the Holy One. He is the Holy One of Israel. That means that the word Kedusha does not mean something that is so distant and so far and so incapable of us reaching. By the way, isn't that so clear in Torah? Kedoshim Tiyu Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Parshat Kedoshim. Kedoshim says, you shall be holy because I'm holy. I can't. Can you imagine a pasuk, be God because I'm God? We can't be God. What do you mean we should be Kadosh because God is Kadosh? If Kadosh means something that's so distant and so far, so unreachable, what do you mean we should be holy? Obviously, holiness means something else. You know what holiness means? If holiness, when we're talking about God, means that he aids, that he assists, that he's fatherly, that he's concerned, can't we do the same thing? V'halachta bidrachav. As he is merciful, so you be merciful. As he is compassionate, so you be compassionate. Kedusha doesn't mean something that is so distant and so far, so transcendent. Kadosh, 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 that Hashem Tzvakot, that God of hosts, the mighty and the powerful one, that's Melo Kol Ha'aretz Kavodo, but he's close to us. And in the Targum Yonatan, Kadosh means that he's heaven, he's holy in heaven, but he's also holy on earth. Where did heaven and earth meet? When did they ever meet in history? Once, Parashat Yitro, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, God came down on Mount Sinai. Do you know what's being described to us in the Parsha? Kadosh, the transcendent holiness of God. And then the God who is close, the God who, when his voice booms out from Sinai, says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm God, your God, Asher Hotzei Ticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I took you out of the land of Egypt. I was concerned. I heard you. I heard you. I felt your pain. And I came down to take you out. Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo sarof. I came myself in order to take you out. And I really think this should be the Haftorah for Parashat Yitro. I think it's so good, it just fits the parsha like a glove. Unbelievable. Eliezer Berkowitz later is going to bring the opinions of all sorts of other commentators that seem to leave the impression that holiness, for example, Rudolf Otto and the idea of the mysterium tremendum, it's not such mysterium tremendum as much as it is a God who is involved with the Jewish people and who cares. If you want to say that Kadosh means to be separated, maybe that he separated himself from the rest of the world and he identified himself with the pursued, the underdog. And boy, we've been underdog longer than anybody in history, and he identifies with us. All of them beginning to think, maybe Hare At Mikudeshet Li means that I'm going to be involved with you. I'm going to be concerned about you. We're going to enter into a relationship of Kadosh Yisrael, you understand? You're not distant. You're close. You're very close. That, I tell you, that's becoming a very good speech for my next chuppah. We always think in practical terms, understand? Huh? To be separated from others. I'm going to be concerned about you more than I'm going to be concerned about anybody else. The idea that I'm giving something to you. I'm giving something. I'm dedicating. I can... I have not yet begun to say the shir. But all right, as I told you, the boys are off on a tiyul, so we have another few minutes. We don't have to rush, but I won't go too much over. Anyway, let's go further. Vayonu amot hasipim, the doorposts of this temple began to shake. Mikol hakorei, from the voice, the sound of the calling, the habayit yimalei ashan, and the house became full of smoke. All of our Sinai was surrounded with smoke, and Moshe went through the smoke to the top of the mountain. Va'omar, and I said, this is what Yeshayahu says when he sees this vision. Oili ki nidmeti, woe be unto me, because I shall die. Ki ish tmei svatayim anochi, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I live amongst a people of unclean lips, because the King, God of hosts, mine eyes have seen. Do you hear what Yeshayahu just said? How did he describe Hashem Tzvakot? Melech! We said that Hashem Tzvakot describes God as King. Kadosh describes him as Father. We can come back to this pasuk in a moment. One of the Srafim flew over to me. In his hand, he had a burning coal. He had taken it with tongues from upon the altar. And he put the coal, the burning coal, to my mouth, and he said, this has touched your lips, your sin has been removed, and your sin will be forgiven. Before I go further, I just want to say, then he hears the voice of God saying, whom shall I send and who will go to the Jewish people? And Yeshayahu says he's the one who's going to go. So I don't have time to say everything I have to say, but you know me, I'll always find something else, some other point at which I can say it. But there's something very fascinating about this Pasuk Hay. And this Pasuk Hay serves as the introduction to one of the great letters that was written by the Rambam 800 years since the death of the Rambam, the passing of the Rambam. One of the great letters that the Rambam wrote is called Igeret Hashmad or Ma'amar Kiddush Hashem. Igeret Hashmad. And he begins his letter by saying that he has heard, he has been told that, and I think it was taking place in Tehran at the time, that the Muslims, of course, now everything's okay. After 800 years, it's okay, it's all right. Peace is breaking out all over the place. I tell you, everything is fine. It's going to be now like that. This is Mashiach's sight, has already begun. All right. But in the Rambam's time, it hadn't happened. It was 800 years ago, and the Muslim world was out to conquer the whole world, and that everybody has to accept Islam. And there was a gzeira on Jews in a number of the Arab countries, and especially in Yemen, that they Jews, in order to live, must say lahodot la'oto ish bashlichut. Muhammad is not God. Muhammad is the messenger of God, and that he is a true prophet. And the question was sent by Jews in those lands asking, and it was sent to somebody in Baghdad, and he was asked, what is the din, what should we do? And should we say it, or should we die by the sword? So he says, the respondent, the one who sent the response, said something that was so weak, and it's worse. Even ignoramuses wouldn't say what he said. The man basically sent in his message, you dare not make that statement. You're better to die by the sword than say that Mohammed is the messenger of God. And anybody who does say it is a goy. No longer has any part of the Jewish people. He doesn't have to do mitzvahs anymore. He's a meshumed, and it's all over. The Rambam says when he received this message, he became very, very upset, because the man doesn't know what he's talking about, and he's telling Jews to give their lives when there is absolutely no Torah reason whatsoever to do so. And he's sitting over there at peace in Baghdad, you understand, and he's telling Jews who are under the sword what to do. The Rambam is going to explain that there is no idolatry involved in Islam. There is no idolatry. There are a lot of other things that are bad, but certainly the statement that the Mohammed is the messenger of God, messenger, those are big deal, you know. American Express, he's a messenger, so, all right, you know. Who used to, Western Union. Yeah, Western Union. Okay. A messenger. Doesn't really make any difference in halacha. But What he does is the following. His introduction to his response is, how careful one must be before they ever utter a word that is negative about the Jewish people. And then he takes us for a journey through Tanakh, and he begins the journey by saying, up on now, I'm going to begin telling you what a terrible, terrible mistake this fellow in Baghdad, what a terrible mistake he made. And he says that Jews in Egypt were idolaters. Yisrael b'mei Moshe, Israel in the days of Moshe, before they went out of Egypt, they did not fulfill Brit Milah. Before they ate the Korban Pesach, they all had to undergo circumcision. Moshe and Aaron circumcised the people. and Dam Pesach and Dam Mila, the blood of the Korban Pesach and the blood of Mila, joined together. Vo'e'evor olayich, vo'ereich midboseset b'domayich, vo'omar loch b'domayich chayi, b'domayich chayi, live in your blood. And he says they had simply forgotten what they had learned from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. By the snare, Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, they're not going to believe me. You know what happens? He becomes a leper. Moshe Rabbeinu becomes a leper. After he says to God, Hein lo yaminu li, v'lo yishmu'u b'koli, they're not going to believe me, they're not going to listen to my voice. God tells him, put your hand in your cloak. He takes it out. Mitzorah. Why did he become full of tzorah? You said Lashon Hara about my people? And do you know what? Because you said that they're not going to believe in me, the end is, you're not going to believe. When he strikes the rock, instead of speaking to the rock, God says, you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael, Yam lo he'emantem bi, because you didn't believe in me. And from Moshe Rabbeinu we learn, Hachoshed b'ksheichim, he who suspects those who are innocent, Yiloke b'gufo, is stricken in his body. Shah! I don't want to hear anybody talk evil about the Jewish people. Then he says, in the days of Elio, Jews were idolaters. It says by Achav that there were 7,000 Jews who had not bowed down. Elio goes running away. He can't. He ends up out in the desert of Chodev, of Sinai. He runs away from the Jewish people. He can't take it. So God says to Malacho Po Elio, Elio, what are you doing here? And he says, Kano kineti l'Hashem elokei tzvaot, I have been zealous for the God of hosts. Ki ozvu b'nitcha b'nei Yisrael. Your children, the children of Israel, have forsaken your covenant. God says, my covenant? Maybe your covenant. Not my covenant. And you know what the Medrash says? Why do you think a child at a bris is placed on Kisei Shel Elio, the chair of Elio? Every day, Elio has to come back heavenward and God asks him, they have broken my covenant? How many brises were you at today, Elio? Elio is condemned to go for all time from bris to bris. I don't know how he does so many in one day. Only Yasala Olav HaShalom in Yerushalayim was able to get to as many brises as Elio. God says, I don't need somebody who's going to speak evil of the Jewish people. And then he goes on to say, Yisroel in the days of Yeshayahu. First chapter in Yeshayahu. What does Yeshayahu say in the name of God? Hoi goi choite am keved ovon zera mireim bonim mashchisim niatsu et kedosh Yisroel nazoru achor. You don't have to know the translation of one word. It sounds pretty bad. And despite the fact that they were sinners, when he said the words, B'toch am t'mei svotayim onochi yoshev, I dwell amongst the people whose lips are unclean, a saraf comes flying over to him, they would have had Ajax, they would have washed his mouth out with Ajax, but instead they kashed his mouth with a burning coal. Now your sin has been forgiven. I don't want to hear anybody speaking evil of the Jewish people. What makes them the Jewish people? From the moment that they receive Torah, Klal Yisrael becomes Kadosh forever. And as long as there's Kedushas Klal Yisrael forever, that remains. You're not going. You're going to have 5 minutes that are going to be dedicated now to the idea of Kedusha as it expresses itself on Tu B'Shvat. So you're going to have 5 extra minutes. And then I have this little request. On the other side, it's all related. The top paragraph is from the Shulchan Aruch, the Tur Shulchan Aruch. the second place where it's underlined. The Shulchan Aruch is talking about the bracha of Al Hamichya, Al Haperos, if you eat the fruit of Eretz Yisrael. Now, it doesn't mean all fruit of Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't mean oranges. It means grapes, olives, pomegranates, figs, dates, not buxer. I ate a lot of buxer, but all right. Or cake, so you make the bracha Al Hamichya. Second on the line, it says, there are those who say in that bracha Al Hamichya, v'nochal mi pirya v'nizba mi tuva. We will eat from her fruit and we will be sated from her good. Wait a minute. Ve'en la'omro. The Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't say it. She'en lachmod ha'aretz b'shvil pirya v'tuva. You're not supposed to desire the land because of its fruit and its goodness. Elo l'kayim mitzvos ha'tluyos bo. That's why you should desire the land. Atkan. Ubahag, the Baal Halakot G'dolot Yeshno, says, V'nochal mi pirya v'nizbe mituva. V'adoni ovi harosh, the Rosh, Rabbeinu Osher, who was the father of Rabbeinu Yaakov Balaturim's Loho Yomro. There is another text over that says that the Rosh did say it. Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo, says, we do say, V'nochal mi pirya v'nizba mi tufa. I'm going to go to the Bach. Third, this is one of the classics of all Shulchan Aruch. The Bach, the Bayit Chodosh, Rabbi Yoel Sirkis. Rabbi Yoel Sirkis said the following. He says, what do you mean? How can somebody say that you shouldn't write v'nochal mi pirya, eat from a fruit, the kosavot, v'yesh shomri v'nochal mi pirya, v'ein la'omro, tema. What are you talking about? We're not going to say v'nochal mi pirya. The Bach is a classic Talmudic rationalist halachist. All right, that a description. Here is the one piece in all of Shulchan Aruch where he doesn't sound like the halachist, and he says, what are you talking about? Halo kedushat eretz hanishpaba, the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael that comes down upon it, mi kedushat haaretz ha'elyonahi nishpat, it is from the sanctity of the heavens above. That sanctity comes down to Eretz Yisrael. And you know where it goes? Where does the sanctity go? He nishpat gam bepedotel, the holiness of Eretz Yisrael that comes from on high. Kadosh, kadosh, the second kadosh. The earth is kadosh. You know where the kedusha goes though? It goes straight into the fruits. Sheyonkim mi kedushat hashchina, he says, the fruit of Eretz Yisrael nurses from the sanctity of the divine presence. Hashulchenet b'kedef ha'aretz, that dwells in the midst of the land. You ever heard that? Do you understand what he's saying? You think that there's no difference between an American apple and an Israeli apple? You're all wrong. There's divine presence in an Israeli apple. Ki al kein hiziv oma besof parshat maseh. That's why the Torah at the end, parshat maseh, by the end of Bamidbar, lo titmat haaretz, don't defile the land, asher atem yoshim ba, that you live in her, asher ani shochein betocha, because I dwell in the midst of that land, God says. You know how he's going to learn, I dwell in it? I dwell in the earth, I dwell in the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Ki ani Hashem shochein v'tov b'nei Yisrael, I, God, dwell amongst the children of Israel. And he says, im titmat ha'aretz, if you're going to defile the earth, nimshechet ha'tumah gam b'peidotel, also the fruits are going to become tamei. Hayonkim imeno, that nurse from the kedusha. Ukvar nistal kashchin, if you're going to sin, and the divine presence is going to remove itself from Eretz Yisrael, the apples are going to be American apples. It's not going to be the apples of Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, but you have the choice of, you know what? Eat an American one and an Israeli one and feel the difference in the Kedusha. I don't have to go through the rest of the Bach. The Bach says, of course we say in the bracha, we say, v'nochal mi pir yavin izba mituva. Eating from the fruit of Eretz Yisrael is being connected to the divine. What's he talking about? How can anybody even say that? The first Kedusha speaks about God who is on high, the God who is transcendent. The second Kadosh is talking about God's Kedusha on the face of this earth. Molo kol haaretz kavodo. Kavodo means his honor and glory is throughout the whole globe. But Kedusha is one place, Eretz Yisrael. And that Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael gets into the peres, into the fruit. Somebody told me once, Sayyidin Shul, he told me that I think in the early 50s, we didn't have apples in Eretz Yisrael in the early 50s. And those apples that were on the market were unworthy of carrying the name apple. Anyway, some fella came from Chutz Lars to the Belzer Rebbe, and he brought him a few beautiful apples from America, Shana apples. And he comes in and he gives the Rebbe, I brought you from Chutz Lars, and I brought you a present. You know, what kind of presents did they bring in those days? You know, remember, they used to bring tuna fish, used to bring Hellman's mayonnaise or tinfoil. This fellow brought apples to the Bells of Heaven. He says, Rebbe, here are good apples from Chutz Lars. The Rebbe began to tremble. He said, Vai, teach Shiva, you have to do Shiva right now. You're leaving the impression that Eretz Yisrael, the apples are not good. Just like you're not allowed to talk against the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, as the Rambam says, you can't talk about Jews ill. You can't talk ill about Peres Eretz Yisrael. Tu b'shvat sameach.